This is BayCare Health Chat, another podcast from BayCare Health System. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome. Today we're talking about schizophrenia, and it's such a mysterious disease, and it can be very misunderstood. Here to teach us about it today is Dr. Nick Dewan. He's the Chief Medical Officer in the Behavioral Health Division of BayCare. Dr. Dewan, we've seen movies and media about schizophrenia, but people really don't understand anything about it. Tell us what it is.
So schizophrenia is a brain disorder that causes people to lose their sense of reality. And historically, when it was first termed, it was actually termed what's called juvenile dementia. And so back in the mid-1800s, when people noticed this condition where young people had lost their sense of reality and weren't thinking as organized as normal, they thought this is a variant of dementia. And the term schizophrenia actually means sort of a torn life or a split life. And that's where you originally got that term, where it was a split personality. So schiz meaning sort of a gash, and phrenic comes from the Greek origin of what's called life breathing. And so it was a terminology of, you know, this is a very difficult disease that hits you in your young life and sort of splits you off from reality. So that's how you can sort of think about this disorder. Now, in terms of the media, there are so many different types of schizophrenia. There are some types when people can be extraordinarily successful. They can function in society at different levels. But then there are other types that are so awful and so burdensome, where somebody can be what's called catatonic or so disorganized that they really need, you know, daily care and daily support. And then there are others that can work, live, function. So it is a wide spectrum kind of condition, but it is probably the most difficult condition in all of psychiatry to treat. And it is recognized by the World Health Organization as one of the most burdensome illnesses in the world, just because it affects people at an early age as teenagers, and it lasts with them throughout their life.
Wow. As mysterious as it has been to so many people, explain a little bit. And Dr. Dewan, I know that this is a tough thing to do briefly, but explain a little bit about the brain science behind schizophrenia and what you in the business, all of you, have come to understand that we did not understand about brain science 20 years ago.
Okay. So this is, and schizophrenia probably has the most brain science dedicated to it, and yet we still don't know. So let me go through the kinds of things that we know. We know that the actual architecture, the microarchitecture of the brain, the actual way the nerves are aligned, it's sort of like if you were building a building and instead of having the scaffolding be straight, it's twisted scaffolding. If the different receptors that communicate are inefficient or they're overproductive in the communication, the multiple circuits of the brain do not communicate. It's sort of like having highways that are crisscrossed. And then there's also a shrinkage of parts of the brain that are responsible for memory, thought organization. So it is a total brain disease that includes all of those elements, and that's why it's so difficult to understand. And there are so many genes that go into coding all those different parts of the brain, from the meninges to the glial cells to the actual neurons to the actual receptors. That's why this is so complex. And we've gone from thinking, is this something that happens in utero? Is this some kind of viral infection that goes on? Is this something that happens in early childhood? Is it the teenagers? We know we can see it clinically sometimes in the early to late teenage years. More often than not, somebody that goes to, say, college and then gets this massive stress in their first year of college, suddenly they start getting delusional, they start hearing voices, you're thinking, oh my God, things were just fine. So we know a lot about the brain. We know this is an architecture issue, it's a structure issue, it's a function issue, it's a communication issue, and yet we don't have cures for this illness. We just have what I would call things that mitigate the severity of the illness, but we don't have a cure.
Wow, it's fascinating. I mean, it really is absolutely fascinating. So what do we know about treatment options that are available, and what signs should people look for? Is this something that just starts, and you mentioned childhood dementia and back years ago, but how do you know? Is it something that just comes on, or is this come on a little bit slowly, and then what are they supposed to do?
The fancy term for this is insidious, which means it's a slow burn. And so you see sort of withdrawing from people, sort of a disinterest in kind of hanging out. Then you see, you can see what I would call strange mannerisms and speech about, hey, so-and-so is really after me, or, hey, I wonder if this person is plotting against me. And then people start having disorganized speech. So you almost have to kind of listen really hard, say, now, what did they just say? What are they talking about? That doesn't make sense. But if young people who start withdrawing socially, it goes back to they're into their own reality. They're uncomfortable with the true reality. So you invent stories about reality. And that's really something you can pick up. Teachers can pick it up. Sometimes friends can pick it up. Sometimes parents can pick it up. And they'll say, hey, I think something's going on. And when they stop, say, wanting to hang out at all, and they're afraid, and they stop taking care of themselves, they stop brushing their teeth or washing their face, and they're in this different world, that's how you start recognizing it slowly and surely. And then getting them into treatment is, there's two things that are used. Well, actually three things. Number one, you got to get a medicine. And it might not cure it, but it'll reduce the delusions. It'll reduce the hallucinations. It'll help them think more clearly. It'll allow the psychotherapy to work, because we can teach people, you know, when you think somebody's out to get you, let's really look at the facts. Let's work through this. And then what I would call what we used to call vocational rehab is, there are some skills you can do. You can still function in life. You can still work. You can still try to be a productive member of society. And so it's those three things. And the earlier you get them into treatment, the better it is. Because if you let this slow burn turn into a fire, putting out that fire and managing that fire over a lifetime becomes extremely complicated, because it's a deteriorating, what we call a neurocognitive illness with behavioral manifestations. So it is a disease of the brain that impacts people's relationships and behaviors and life functioning. The quicker we can help somebody adapt to this illness, the quicker we can get them to understand they have this illness, and that's how we can get them to function throughout their life. Because this is an illness that has a high rate of what I would call mortality and morbidity, which is fancy words for people do die early with this disease. People do lose their ability to function in society with this disease. So the earlier, the better. And you got to stay on the meds. You got to stay connected. You got to stay in treatment. It's a lifelong condition.
The way you describe it, you're absolutely fascinating. Dr. Duan, what about some of the newer treatments? As we get ready to wrap up here, what about research and transcranial direct current stimulation, things that are going on in the field? What do you see happening?
In schizophrenia, what you mentioned, what I would call neurointerventional psychiatry, that's really more for mood disorders like depression. For schizophrenia, it's really the, quote, antipsychotic medication. We are having some success with what's called cognitive enhancers because there is a cognitive component to this illness that we really haven't focused on strongly in terms of medical interventions. But when you look at the biggest research study ever done on schizophrenia, the primary result score that they were trying to get was not the results or elimination of the illness. It was, are you staying on medicine? Because staying on medicine makes you not get worse. So usually I'm a very, you know, I will tell people, hey, we got this great treatment, this great cure. What we have are treatments that reduce the dysfunction and have an opportunity to reduce sort of what I would call the severe symptoms. But we are not there in terms of getting close to curing this illness. We are very good at managing the psychosocial aspects of this, and we are pretty good at managing what I would call the biological or behavioral aspects of this illness. But boy, we have a long way to go with this disease, a long way.
What a great segment. So interesting. Dr. Duan, thank you so much for coming on with us and explaining it in a way that we can understand, since it is so mysterious for so many people to learn about. But what a great lesson for us today. Thank you so much again. That wraps up this episode of BayCare Health Chat. You can go over to our website at baycarebehavioralhealth.org to learn more, to get more information, and to get connected with one of our providers. Please be sure and share this show with people that you know, because we're all learning together. And these are the experts at BayCare that we're learning from. So that's the way we can all do it and be more informed and be our own best health advocates. Until next time, I'm Melanie Cole.